now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely New Year's and can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can take the time to participate and hopefully call in as well. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, the number with a question or answer is 415-841-4134. And we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. I guess children's books, too, since Pauline's here. Oh, no? Not tonight? Okay. 415-841-4134. Now that the Niners game is over, you have no excuse not to call in. Our lines are totally open right now. It's a great time to get in touch with us. And our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. I've only said it a million times. And once more, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners. And thank you. One of our listeners sent in a book. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. That was nice of you to think about. That's because it's addressed to me, Mr. Peter Reitz. And
you're
making noise. It's pornography, I think. No, it's a factoid book from England. So it's very nice. Thank you. And as I said, our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. I listened to the show when I was in Denmark, as a matter of fact. Again, that's kalw.org. And since the lovely Debbie Kennedy is here, the podcast will be available soon afterwards because she always does such a perfect job putting it online. So again, that will be at kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry's looking at me very anxiously. I feel his eyes boring into my head. Jerry Nachman spent the new year ringing out the new and ringing in the old.
Thank you, Dana. Pauline Teichman believes the warmest summer she ever spent was a winter in San Francisco. I don't know about you, but I've been freezing.
No.
Yes.
Really? Once it gets below 60.
My neighborhood is cold.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my gosh.
Alameda is warmer, I think.
Alameda is quite warm.
Yeah.
It was hot today. Okay, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez's New Year resolution is to avoid reality shows entirely, especially Congress.
So that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, this is the 40th anniversary of People magazine.
Mm. You'd think I knew that.
Yeah. We're all celebrating.
Yeah. Who was on the first cover?
This has come up at some point.
73.
Mia Farrow.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, I told you.
I think that had come up some years ago.
Yeah.
All right. Try this. On this day in 1903, Topsy was executed. Who was Topsy and why was she or he killed?
Sounds like a bunny.
It's no relation to Topsy and Eva, I suppose.
No.
Or the Duncan sisters. Topsy. 1903. It's an animal that they used. Was it in the electric chair for the first time? When they tested the electric chair? Was it a rabbit?
No.
It wasn't a rabbit.
You got half of it.
Yeah. Edison.
How terrible.
Tested the electric chair. I guess, I don't know if he invented it or not, but he had a hand in it in some way. It wasn't a rabbit.
Bigger or smaller?
Bigger.
Bigger than? Is it a bear or something like that?
Something like that.
Something like that? Okay. Well, I got a bunch of it.
Well, it's a famous event at the time.
Yeah.
Topsy was a violent elephant that Edison... Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Let me start again. Are you all going to be...
Mean enough to elephants as it is? Yeah.
A violent elephant Edison electrocuted with 6,600 volts to prove that his DC, or direct current electricity, was superior to George Westinghouse's alternating current.
Okay.
So you get, I guess you get a
terrible
two-thirds of the bill.
All right, give us another question.
Yet another.
Yeah.
I have to recuse you from this one.
All right.
What movie featured John Gielgud, Tab Hunter, and Milton Berle?
Once more.
What well-known movie featured John Gielgud, Tab Hunter, and Milton Berle?
Right. I can't even conceive of a movie that would put three dissimilar.
I got that.
Thank you.
It's a good movie. It's a pretty good movie.
It is a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I watched it recently. Yeah.
And
it's a very weird movie.
It's a very weird movie. But, yeah, it's
different. It's
cleverly
different.
Done.
It's different, yeah.
Yes. And let's go to a call. Hmm. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Union City.
Hello.
I got a couple questions.
Okay.
What was the first Quentin Martin television series that featured filmed end credits?
Quentin Martin?
What was the first series that featured filmed end credits?
Filmed end credits.
Oh, gosh.
But you mean not the whole thing wasn't on film? It was just the end credits?
Well, the whole thing was on film because most of the series had regular title cards, but this one was his first series to feature filmed end credits.
Oh. So this would have been 60s?
Yes.
Quentin Martin. Boy. Mannix?
Nope. I'll give you a clue. It's his first series in color.
That's quite a clue.
Mannix was in color.
He did all those police action.
Yeah, it's like Barnaby Jones and Mannix and all that stuff.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Route 66.
Nope.
Detective. No, I need more.
It was sponsored by an auto company.
That's a great
Everything story. Was sponsored by auto companies in those days. No, we don't know.
The FBI.
Oh, my God. We used to watch that, too, when I was a kid.
Why didn't they have credits on other shows before that?
Well, all of his other shows, like The Fugitive and The Invaders, those featured title cards. The FBI was the first series to feature film end credits, but some of the Streets of San Francisco featured film end credits, too.
End clips, you said?
Maybe,
end credits.
Maybe J. Edgar Hoover insisted on it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's my second question. Way back in the early 70s, he used to have wrestling at the Cow Palace, and he used to have the wrestling show, Big Time Wrestling. He used to air on Channel 44, and he used to have a military march for its opening and closing music. You know
what I didn't get that question at all.
Big wrestling shows.
Way back in the early 70s, they used to have wrestling at the Cow Palace.
Yeah.
Right.
And the wrestling show that was taped in Sacramento, they aired on Channel 44 on Saturday afternoons. They used to have a military march for its opening and closing music.
Oh, boy.
The only wrestler I know from before then is Bruno Sammartino, and it's not him.
Yeah.
And you want the name of the march, though, right?
Yeah.
The march.
Colonel Bogey?
Nope.
Marine's him?
Nope. You're close to it.
Oh.
Stars and Stripes Forever?
Nope.
So you're close to
it. It has something to do with the Marines, I'll tell you that.
Anchors Away.
It's
Navy.
Well, you already said the Marine hymn, so
yeah.
From the Halls of Montezuma, that's the Marine hymn, isn't it?
Starts with an S.
It's not Semper.
Oh, Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fi, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had said that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. What was the Ice Bowl? And give us some information about it.
What was the Ice Bowl?
Ice Bowl.
Was or is?
Called the Ice Bowl.
It is or was?
Well, it's past.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it was a one-time event.
Why is it? Is it something like the Harvard-Yale hockey team kind of thing?
It was a hockey game. You're right.
It wasn't hockey.
I just saw something on the news about it.
So I'm sure you did.
Curling?
No.
Is it a wintertime sports event? Can you tell us that?
I would guess
this particular one happened in the winter, yes.
The Ice Bowl.
Which is why it was called the Ice Bowl.
You want to know what the event was?
What the event was, if you know the dates, if you know the teams.
I don't know.
All right, as far as I can go.
I know somebody in the audience will know that.
Repeat the question.
Okay, what was the Ice Bowl, and can you give more details about it? Who played, the date,
and it only happened once.
It only happened once. Yes.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Did you get the Topsy question?
We got some of it.
Right. I gave it. Why don't you tell us?
Topsy was a circus elephant. who was electrocuted as a result of going crazy and attacking one of her trainers who burned her with a cigar or a cigarette or something like that. And so Edison suggested that use, and they filmed it so you could ostensibly get online if you wanted to. And
that's right. Very good. Very
Jeremy.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I don't know if that was said, but when I was switched over.
Well,
okay.
You added some aspects.
You added the details. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see here. Who was the only woman, and this is a well-known woman, who was the only woman not to be gender tested at the 1976 Olympic Games? Who was the only woman not to be gender tested at the 1976 Olympic Games? You know how they used to have this.
Was it a woman who was formerly a man?
No. You know how they used to do that? I guess they still do the gender testing. You know, the East German athletes who, women who look suspiciously like, construction workers. And so this is a famous woman. So who was the
76?
Only woman? 19.
Billie Jean King?
No. Okay. Who was the only woman not to be gender tested at the 1976 Olympic Games? Who was a participant, obviously? Famous
Nancy
woman.
Nancy Fleming, I don't know. An ice skater?
I'm not going to say what sport they were in. But it's a famous person. And this person is famous just for the Olympics.
Why did they exclude her?
Well, that would be part of the...
Right.
If, once you know the answer, you
Which
would probably understand that a little
bit
more.
Which is why I thought what I thought.
Oh. So, once more, who was the only woman not to be gender tested at the 1976 Olympic Games? And, let's see. Where in the United States was the first escalator installed?
Where in the United States? You want the city or the store or wherever it was?
As specific as you can be. Where in the United States was the first escalator installed?
New York City.
It was not in New York City.
Sears Tower in Chicago.
No, Sears Tower is not that old.
Okay, well.
You didn't say how old it was. This is over 100 years ago.
Okay.
So where in the U.S. was the first escalator installed?
Was it a subway?
It was not in a subway.
Okay.
No. And who was the only woman not to be gender tested at the 1976 Olympic Games? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, thank you. I was trying to figure out the film in which Milton Berle and Sir John Gielgud was in, but I was wrong. It isn't To Be or Not To Be. I looked it up.
It's not that, no.
Anyway.
John Gielgud, Tab Hunter, and Milton Berle. Even more outrageous.
Yes.
Okay, well, nice guess anyway.
I've switched resources. I'm now on David Thompson's new biographical dictionary film, trying to find it. But anyway, I'll ask a question instead.
All right.
And that is, what great Robert Mitchum mystery was available in DVD, no longer available now, and only in VHS at the present time?
Hmm. Well, what would be the reason for that? Well, you'll tell us that. Do you know?
Maybe it's.
I'm not sure, actually.
It might have fallen out of copyright or something. You never know.
Perhaps.
But why would it be still on VHS?
Out of the Past?
No.
It's a mystery?
Yes.
Night of the Hunter?
Nope.
The Long Goodbye?
Nope.
Well, he made a bunch of mysteries.
He certainly did, and this is a great one.
Is this called the one called Into the Past? Or something?
Oh, that's Out of the Past.
Out of the Past?
No.
What? Can you give me anybody else in the movie?
Yes.
But you don't want
to. A very beautiful actress who's British who lives in France.
Charlotte.
Gorgeous, gorgeous woman, even at her present age.
Oh.
Will always be gorgeous.
You mean Jacqueline Bisset?
No.
See, I was thinking Charlotte Rampling to me. Is just
Charlotte. That's it. That's it. You've got it.
Oh, yes.
Now you have it.
Oh, hey, I want
that's
my bell.
The,
what's the movie?
Bell. But that's the Philip Marlowe, where he played Philip Marlowe, I think.
Yes. And the film is called?
The Big Sleep.
No.
Or Murder, My Sweet.
No.
It's a version of The Big Sleep, though.
Yes, but you can get it. I know you can.
You sure it's not called The Big Sleep, too? Let's see. I can't think of the name. I'm sorry.
Farewell, My Lovely.
Okay.
Which I've seen.
That's right.
Well,
right.
I got the Rambling part.
Film.
I was happy with
fabulous.
That.
And I hope it comes back on DVD soon.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I have a guess for your Olympic question.
Yes.
Princess Anne.
You're right.
Oh,
Princess Anne.
Very good, Pauline.
Equestrian.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
Yeah. Very good.
Good.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Nobody? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
The film with Milton Berle and Gielgud and Tab Hunter is The Loved One.
That's right.
Right.
What is it?
The Loved One.
Oh.
Also, Jonathan Winters. It's got a very bizarre...
Yes.
Liberace. Yeah.
That's a coffin
that's
salesman.
That's pretty eclectic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They showed it last week. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Very good. The Loved One. Yeah.
And it's your turn, Jerry.
Did I ask this about, according to the Gallup poll, what is the gayest city and state in the United States?
That sounds familiar, actually.
Did I ask that?
No.
Okay. What is the gayest city and state in the United States?
And how is that measured, may I ask?
Look, ask Mr. Gallup. I don't know. However they take...
I mean, is it based on the amount of gay people who live there or anything like that? Or?
I don't know.
Because I remember thinking it was surprising. It wasn't one of the places you would have immediately thought of.
Well,
it has the highest percentage of gays is the better way to say it. Yeah.
Okay. Like per capita kind of thing?
Must be per capita.
Yeah.
Is it Minnesota?
No.
How about Vermont?
No.
I know the city with the highest amount of gay couples is Washington, D.C.
Hmm. It is Washington, D.C.
Oh. Well, you asked for the state.
City and state.
Oh.
I asked for the city and the state. You have the city, now guess the state. It's a two-part question.
Virginia.
No.
Maryland.
No.
I see. You wanted two different... Okay.
What is so hard about that?
So, Washington, D.C. is a city...
And now you want the state with us.
No, I want the state.
I got it.
City and
state. State.
Yeah, see, we were putting them together.
All right, I have to think about that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. 415-841-4134 with a question or answer.
Excuse me. Washington, D.C. has 10%.
Okay. And our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Okay. And Pauline, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What is Dreiskönigskuchen?
Was that German?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's three.
How do you spell it?
Dreiskönigskuchen.
Well, can you narrow down the category somewhat?
No.
Could you say it again, please?
It's very easy to figure out. So
Three something.
Dreiskönigskuchen.
It's three kings. It's three king...
Kuchen.
Three...
Cookie.
Almost. Three Kings Cake.
Three Kings Cake.
In honor of tomorrow, the Epiphany.
All right.
Okay. I come from a tradition, a long line of Jews who celebrate the Epiphany mainly because of the King's Cake.
Oh, I don't.
Okay. Well, because in French it's Galette des Rois.
All right.
Which is a wonderful... Okay, so let me ask something else.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
What is it in Japanese? Do you know that?
In Japanese, I don't know. I know it in a lot of different languages, but no. Okay. Name Scarlett's younger sisters and the actresses who played them.
Evelyn Keyes. Evelyn Keyes played one.
Okay, which
one? Sue, not Sue Ellen. It's well, Anne Rutherford and Evelyn Keyes are
right.
The two youngest.
And you're right, actually, about the Sue Ellen.
Is it Sue Ellen?
Sue Ellen is the one that Evelyn Keyes
and
played.
And what was the name of the other one? Oh, Sue Ellen and
Sue Ann.
No, can't think of it. I'll think of it later.
Okay.
All right.
All right, should I ask something else?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, who said this quote? My father thought of Russia as a land of cornfields and happy laughter, and he used to drop copies of the Daily Worker around casually for people to read. Mother was always hissing at him and telling him to pick them up.
What author?
I didn't say it was an author. It's not an author. It's a famous person.
Still alive?
Yes.
My father.
Still alive, famous.
Would you read that again, please?
Yes. Who said, my father thought of Russia as a land of cornfields and happy laughter, and he used to drop copies of the Daily Worker around casually for people to read. Mother was always hissing at him and telling him to pick them up.
Is this person... So, I'm sorry, you're looking for the...
Who said that?
Who said that? Okay.
So this is a quote by
it's the child of the person
right.
They're talking about. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Hello.
So, Pauline, your question about the ice bowl.
Yeah, I knew you'd know that one.
Wanting, and I was reading about it. It was December 31st, 1967.
Yes,
Dallas
it was.
Against Green Bay.
Yes.
Oh.
And Green Bay would win that and go to Super Bowl. I think it was the first or the second Super Bowl. But it was just so cold.
Yes.
How cold was it? It was very
18
cold.
Below at the coldest.
It was the coldest game. It was mm-hmm. like 20 below, something like that.
Mm.
All right, maybe not that bad.
No, it was 18. I looked it up. They said at its coldest, it was like 18 below.
Oh, well, okay. So I wasn't exactly.
Before the wind chill factor.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty darn cold.
Yes, and because of today's game, a lot of people have been making references to the ice bowl.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that was about. And yes, I also said Princess Anne.
Yay.
And do we have anything further?
No.
We're done.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see here. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, I'll give you each two guesses, okay? According to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in the English, spoken English?
Nice.
No.
God, it's the one my students overuse all the time. I tell them it's off the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in English language?
Good.
Yes. Good is number one.
Bad?
No.
How about big?
Bad. No, and you had your guesses already.
Oh,
you know.
Man.
So, Jerry, I'll give you another guess if you want.
Small.
No. No. Okay. Once more, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in the English language? Good was number one. Jerry got that.
Just one more guess.
All right, I'll give you one more guess.
Pretty.
No. What are the 9 others? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter, here every Sunday at 7 p.m., 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Phil from Berkeley.
Hi, Phil.
And I have, I think, what is a valid but alternate answer to the ice bowl question.
Oh.
In the early 70s, the Cincinnati Bengals played the Chargers in Cincinnati, and the wind chill factor was negative 59 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
59 below zero, yeah. And that's what I thought the ice bowl you were referring to was. I knew about the one you mentioned, the other fellow mentioned, but I think this one sets the record for real cold.
That sounds like it would. I just had never heard of that one.
We'll give you an alternate bell. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Question.
Okay.
Does anyone know about Daria?
No, what?
Daria.
Daria. MTV Daria.
Oh, well, I've seen a little of it. I'm not an expert by any means.
What is it?
Neither am I, but I know a few things. But
what is
one
it?
Thing that it's I learned watching Daria.
It's an animated show on MTV.
It is. It was.
It was, right. Yeah. And she was kind of a sarcastic girl.
Yes, very dry.
Very dry, yes.
Yeah, very dry person. But her dad, helped her. I wouldn't say helped her. She ended up hooking up with the guy in the hood that was the man to be with, right? You know.
Right.
And he helped her go to the school that she wanted to, or tried to go to. So they went for their interviews. But as he comes out of the interview with the counselor, the thing that he stated to the counselor, which he learned from his grandfather, was that never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Well, we try not to.
I love that.
Is that a question or no?
Actually, nobody knows about that. Does anybody know about that? I'm not the only one who knew about that.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Barry in Berkeley was surprised to discover that the most gay city in the United States is Tacoma, Washington.
No, it is not. According to the Gallup poll, it's Washington, D.C.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was wrong.
No, it's all right.
It's all right.
We'll forgive you.
Thanks, Barry. I'm sure it's gay enough. It's just not number one. And
Tacoma, right?
Tacoma, yeah. And next call.
Hi. This is Lynn in Reno.
Hi, Lynn.
And did you want the names and the actresses for Scarlet Sister?
We have the actresses. We're still missing the name of one of the sisters. We have.
Okay, it was Sue Ellen. That was Evelyn Keyes.
Right.
And then there was Corrine.
Exactly.
And that was Anne Rutherford.
Absolutely.
All right.
I should ask you a follow-up question while you're there. Do you know what role she was famous for other than...
Who, Anne Rutherford?
Yes.
Anne Rutherford? No, I don't. I'm sorry.
She was famous for being Andy Hardy's girlfriend.
Yes, Polly Benedict.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Okay,
very good.
Thank you very much. And Judy Garland was Betsy Booth, his other girlfriend, or his friend. And those films are hard to watch today. Pretty painful.
Yeah.
Except when Judy Garland sings a song.
Well, the musical numbers are great.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Remember, I'm still looking for the 10 most commonly used adjectives in English language. The 10 most commonly used adjectives in the English language, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. And in the meantime, it's your turn.
Oh, I think it is.
Jerry.
Okay.
What do these movies have in common? One particular feature.
Right.
I never heard of Donnie Darko, but I'm sure you
have.
Oh,
yeah. That name I have. Yeah.
Okay.
Do just one of these at a time, because you were
No,
too,
I know. I'm just doing one category.
Right.
Fatal Attraction. Uh-huh. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Roger and Me, The Rules of the Game, and Song of the South. Donnie Darko, Fatal Attraction, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Roger and Me, The Rules of the Game, and Song of the South.
Does it have anything to do with being banned for certain age groups or anything like that?
No, nothing to do with that. Mm-mm.
Rules of the Game.
Has to do with the plot. Oh. Plots.
The plots. Okay. Fatal Attraction, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Rules of the Game, Song of the South, and what was the one I'm missing here?
Roger
and Me, sorry. The plots. Huh. Okay, I have to think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Did you answer the escalator question yet?
No, we have not.
Well, I have to admit, I didn't come up with this on my own, but it was apparently at Coney Island.
It was at Coney Island, yes. It was a it was an attraction. It was the moving staircase.
Wow.
And they within a week they had 75,000 people who rode it, who went out to see it.
It was a ride.
It was my favorite attraction whenever my mother took me out.
I used to thought it was going to beat me up
at the end.
Yeah.
On the adjectives, can I take a shot?
Sure.
Okay. You said good already.
Yes.
New?
Yes. Good.
Great?
Yes. All right, we'll limit you to... What's that?
Little?
Yes.
Old?
Yes.
Wow.
All right.
Bad?
What's that?
Bad, one of them?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, you did very well.
First.
Yes. Okay.
That's it.
That's it. All right.
How many did I get? One, two, three, four. Five, six.
I actually got five because...
Did you get five?
No, I didn't claim good. That's bad. Okay.
Right.
Four, five. Right on. I think I got five.
All right. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, I was going to make a guess about the film with Milton Berle, Tab Hunter.
Okay, somebody got it, but what is your...
Oh, somebody did get it?
No, go ahead. What did you...
I thought maybe it was like Mad World.
No, it's a movie like that, The Loved One, actually.
Oh, The Loved One. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good guess, yeah.
And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to give you three of them are poems. One's a short story, and tell me who the authors are. So the first one is The Journey of the Magi. The second one is just The Magi. The third one is The Gift of the Magi. And the fourth one is The Three Kings.
Well, Gift of the Magi is...
I know, that's
Henry.
Oh, Henry, yeah.
Exactly.
What was the last one, The Gift of the Four Kings?
No,
The Three Kings.
The Three Kings,
yeah.
You're adding a
I added a king, yeah.
But the Three Kings could deal with...
It's a Christmas one.
Oh, is it a Christmas? Not a card.
Journey of the Magi, Gift of the Magi, and the Gift of Three Kings. Mm-hmm. And you want the poem? They're all poems?
No, I want to know
the source.
Are these all American authors?
They're not all... Well, are they? No, they're not all American. They're all well-known.
Okay.
They're all English language.
I don't know.
All right. Once more, the titles, please.
The Journey of the Magi, The Magi, and The Three Kings are the ones left.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Linda in Oakland.
Hi.
I was going to take a stab at a few of the adjectives.
Yes.
Difficult?
Difficult, no.
And last?
Yes. Very good.
Oh. Super?
No. Anything?
Horrible.
Horrible? No. We're all shorter than that.
It's not.
Yeah.
Okay, at least I got, I think, one.
Yes. Good job.
Okay, well, enjoying your program.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see here. The longest palindrome in the Oxford English Dictionary, it's 12 letters. And it was a word that was coined by James Joyce and used in Ulysses.
Oh, it's just one word.
It's one word. The longest palindrome in the Oxford English Dictionary is one word. It's a 12-letter word. It was first coined by James Joyce and used in Ulysses.
Is it used in common language?
I have heard it. It's not, you don't, but yeah. It's how I'll try to give you a hint on it. Let's see. It describes a sound. Okay.
Well,
an action and a sound.
Yeah.
The longest palindrome in the Oxford English Dictionary is a 12-letter word coined by James Joyce and first used in Ulysses.
But it's only used known because it's in Ulysses, I guess.
It's been used since then, but it's.
But not widely.
I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Yeah,
I have heard of it.
Onomatopoetic, yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. And it describes a sound, basically. So, an action and a sound.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
This is Linda Nel Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. On the adjectives, how about rich or poor?
The rich or poor, neither one.
Oh, really? Okay. Was Young asked about?
Which one?
Young.
Young, no.
Okay.
And, but it's not on the list, no.
Not on the list.
Old is on the list, but not young.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to ask you a question.
All right.
There is an important American writer who is one of 13 children. And I'm going to read 12 of the first names, and you tell me what the name of the missing name is, and that will tell you who the author is.
Probably. All right. So the first names of his brothers and sisters.
Right. Okay.
And that will give us a clue to what his name is?
Well, if you figure out what the missing first name is, I think that'll tell you who it is, probably.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Abigail, Amelia, Anne, Addison, Aurelius, Augustus, Almeida, Andrew, Albert, Arthur, Adelia, and Aurelia.
Hmm.
So what name is... Should and be on the list.
This is an American writer whose first yes. name begins with A, obviously.
Right.
Arthur.
No, we
no,
have
we
that
used
one.
Arthur.
Oh.
Alexander
Hamilton.
No, that's a good guess, but that's not the one.
Andrew? No.
That was on there.
Okay. Anthony, did she say that? No.
And that's not on there, but...
Anthony.
Amy.
What was it?
Amy.
Well, there's a lot
Amy,
of names
no.
that aren't on there.
And you didn't say whether it was a man or a woman.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Well, there's probably 30 names that are not on there, aren't there?
Well, a lot
well
more
not
than
of
that,
13
no
children.
Right.
I'm getting...
No. But the missing name could be any
well, sure,
of 30
sure.
names.
But if we figure it's a writer whose first name begins with an A...
Yeah, but I don't know why those names would tip us off to...
Because they're all...
They all start with A. But
they all start with A, and so you figured that the one she's looking for starts with an A as well.
Who has?
That's what I'm saying. It could be 30 names that start with A.
Yeah.
But an author who has numerous siblings.
Okay.
Are you still there? We lose you?
She
oh,
got
okay.
tired of hearing
all right. Call us back. And let's see. It is your turn, Jerry.
Okay. Did I ask who was the first senator to publicly take a stance against... Joe McCarthy?
Yes, you did. Margaret J. Smith.
Okay, I thought I'm sorry. Sorry to not know that. Okay. Well, I was going to ask this a while ago, but because it's kind of similar to one we had before, but you have had before, but this is a new group. The top earning dead celebrities of 2013.
Okay.
Some are obvious, some are not obvious.
How many are you looking for?
Well, let's see.
So they're not dead in 2013. They're just... They've been dead.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had 10, but one I can't read.
Well, this comes up...
Elvis?
Elvis, of course.
This comes
Michael
up...
Michael Jackson?
Elvis and Michael Jackson.
This comes up every year, and it tends to be a lot of the same people from year to year.
That's right, but okay.
Okay, so I've got two.
Right. There's your mail.
Thank you.
Charles Schulz?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
There are some new ones on this list I don't remember from previous years.
All right. So we'll leave it out.
Okay.
And speaking of which, we should repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
According to the Gallup poll, what state has the highest percentage of gays? And, well, the one I just asked... I think that's all.
Okay. Pauline?
Okay, so...
No, I'm sorry. I'm looking for what these movies have in common. Donnie Darko, Fatal Attraction, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Roger and Me, The Rules of the Game, and Song of the South.
Okay. It's something to do with the rabbit.
They all feature rabbits.
They all feature rabbits, yeah, yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Right.
That
okay.
Is good.
How does a rabbit figure in Roger and Me.
Well, that's the lead character is one of the. Oh, not Roger and Me. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Roger Rabbit. Yeah, Roger. Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Maybe that's what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I think they skin a rabbit. Somebody skins a rabbit because they're scraping by on unemployment, and they skin a rabbit on that in the film. And Donnie Darko has a. There's kind of like an evil rabbit that appears to only to him.
And what about the
Fatal Attraction?
The Holy Grail.
Remember. Well, there's a killer rabbit in that.
Okay. Very good, Dana.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. And Pauline is
so the questions I still have out first and then the new one? Or
Yeah, just the questions you have out.
I still have out who wrote the poem, The Journey of the Magi, just the Magi and the Three Kings. And I still have who said, my father thought of Russia as a land of cornfields and happy laughter, and he used to drop copies of the Daily Worker around casually for people to read. Mother was always hissing at him and telling him to pick them up.
Hmm. All right. The longest palindrome in the English language or the Oxford English Dictionary is a 12-letter word coined by James Joyce and first used in Ulysses. It describes an action, and it's a sound as well. Let's see. And according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in English? What are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in English? So far we have good, first, last, great, little, and old. So, would you please call about that if you like? And let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda again. I'm
good,
back.
Good, good, yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. So you probably don't want to hear those names again.
No.
Do you have any ideas of who's
Alastair Cook?
Pardon me?
Alastair Cook?
No. I don't think he had that many.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of authors.
It's a 19th century person.
19th century.
Which would, they had tended to have large families. Basically 19th century.
Albert Allen. I don't know. Alfred.
It's a 19th century author.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us whether it's a man or a woman?
It's an American, and it's a man.
Oh, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. American man. 19th century.
And there was an important anniversary last year, which you may be aware of, concerning this person.
Oh,
yes.
200.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a birth or...
Well, if he was a 19th century author, was it the anniversary of his death? Or their death?
Well,
or their execution?
Well, there's an asterisk to that.
Okay.
All right.
Sort of on the track. Right track.
So, 1912?
It was 2013 that we're talking about.
Oh, 2013, sorry.
Mm-hmm. It was the 200th.
The end of the year.
Nothing to do with the Titanic, then.
So, 1813.
No. 200th anniversary, 1813.
Uh-huh. Did I say 100th anniversary?
100th anniversary.
You said it wasn't. He was an American.
1913.
It's an American man.
1913. So before.
The American man. No, we don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, the first name is Ambrose.
Oh, Ambrose Bierce.
That's right.
Oh, he disappeared in Mexico.
That's right. And he disappeared. The last communication from him was December 29th, 1913. So it was 100 years ago.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And, yes, it's your turn, Pauline.
Okay. Who was known as Princess Cantacuzène? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but Princess Cantacuzène?
How can you spell it for us?
Cantacuzène with an accent, N-E.
Once more.
Cantacuzène. Something I would have expected you to know, actually.
Is this something to do with the Byzantine Empire?
No, not at all.
And they were known. This person was known as this.
Yes, she was known as this. She has another name that you would probably know her by more so, but
Princess. Well, was she a real princess?
I would think by marriage, yes.
Really? Oh, no. It's not like Grace Kelly or something like that.
Not Grace Kelly, no.
Somebody who was famous and then married into royalty?
They're a famous relative of someone.
This isn't like Pocahontas, is it?
Well, no, but it's in that sense like historical. But they also were known in their own right for a number of things.
Okay, maybe not.
Including as a writer.
Oh.
But.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, great. My name is Lori, and I'm from San Francisco, and I'd like to take a stab at the adjective.
Okay.
Before I ask my question, a and the.
No.
Okay, great. My question is about...
These are not adjectives.
A and the, no. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, okay.
Was never my strong spot.
All right, no problem. Go ahead.
And I have a question about a currently nominated documentary for an Oscar.
Oh.
It is called Kim's Vermeer, and it has a rather unique connection to the city of Las Vegas. Can you tell me what it is?
I heard about this. Kim's Vermeer.
I thought you might, but can you tell me?
Oh, I know. I heard about it in conjunction with Teller from Penn and Teller.
Yes, actually, Teller is the director, and Penn Jillette, his business partner, is one of the producers.
Okay, oh. Right. It was on Terry. I think it was on Terry Gross on Fresh Air.
Mm-hmm. It could have been. I've read it all over the internet.
Right.
What have you? But
could you spell the title?
Tim's. It's Tim's.
Tim, like the gentleman's name.
T I M apostrophe S Vermeer.
Yep. Vermeer, like the painter.
Okay.
Because basically it's a documentary, Mr. Jensen. You might know him from the Video Toaster.
Right.
Actually undertook, there's a book by David Hockney that postulates that at the time Vermeer was doing his paintings, that a lot of painters started using things like camera obscura.
Right.
And things of that nature.
Right.
To do their artwork. And this man took 11 years of his life and tried to create Vermeer's painting, The Music Lesson.
Right, recreate it, right, mm-hmm. Right, yep. Right.
And I did a pretty dang good job from
okay.
what I've been told.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hi, Sid, how are you?
Good.
Very good. Okay, so last week some Japanese archaeologists came with this beautiful, beautiful, old, 3,500 years old ancient Egyptian factory with beautiful mural and paintings on the wall describing the making of this product. You know what product it is? Really beautiful. You can see it in my Facebook. Also was all over the news last week. Japanese archaeologist in Egypt.
And when you say the making of this product, it could be something that was made but that they used in a certain way, or like silk?
We use it on, not silk, but we use it until today.
We use it on
something
what?
Until today, something people do for enjoyment.
Oh. Oh.
Not opium.
No. But in the same field, in a way. Something you use if you're going to watch a big football game.
Ah.
Okay, is it like making beer or something like that?
That's it. Ah. Beer.
Right.
Beer. Okay. That really beautiful opinion. Okay, second question very quickly. Some scientists came to the conclusion last week that whenever you take your dog out, walking your dog out, before they go to the bathroom, which you know they do, they always align themselves with something. What do they align their body with something? What do they align their body with before they go to the bathroom? They found that most dogs do that without, I assume the dogs know, but humans don't know why they do it.
Well, I have a dog, so I have to think about this.
They align themselves with something. It should be obvious, actually.
They align
before they actually start going to the bathroom, yeah.
Is it something like the moon or the sun?
Close, but not quite.
Or a star?
North
close,
star.
But not quite. Something more related to Earth. Something to do with more Earth itself.
They align their bodies. What do you do?
Yeah.
Very
funny. Huh?
No, what is it? We don't know.
Oh, I don't have much time. Okay, Earth's magnetic field, believe it or not. Earth's magnetic field.
Oh.
How do they know? Is it just outstanding? Really?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
It's a mystery.
Okay. Let's see here. What do the Eiffel Tower and Margaret Thatcher have in common?
Oh, please.
What do the Eiffel Tower and Margaret Thatcher, the late Margaret Thatcher, have in common?
They were both created the same year?
No. What do the Eiffel Tower and Margaret Thatcher have
in common? Sounds like a bad riddle.
It's kind of a riddle, I suppose. A little bit.
Okay.
But you'll understand when I give you the answer.
Yeah.
It'll make perfect sense.
Something about steel.
Well, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, she was known as Woman of Steel, right. And so was...
Iron Fist.
Iron Lady.
Yes.
And the Eiffel Tower is also...
And the Eiffel Tower is also nicknamed
that.
The Iron Lady.
Go.
Yeah. Very good.
See, together we got it.
Yeah.
All right.
But I actually came up with...
So you got that? Yes.
No, you were instrumental.
Okay. In 1568, the Catholic Church condemned the entire population of what country to death for heresy? In 1568, the Catholic Church condemned the entire population of what country to death for heresy?
What was the year?
1568. Pre-United States.
Yeah.
Pre.
Right, pre-United States.
No idea.
Once more, in 1568, the Catholic Church condemned the entire population of what country to death for heresy? Needless to say, I don't think the executions were carried out, but...
No idea.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For adjectives, how about hot and cold?
Let me consult. No, neither one.
Okay. And for 1568, it has something to do with the English Reformation?
No, you would think that, and I probably would have answered that if I did not have the answer written in front of me. But no, it's not England.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
We are now in January, which was named after the
Janus.
God Janus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who was the god of beginnings and endings?
Right.
Why was the closing of the doors of his temple an event that was looked forward to?
Okay, so.
That's the two-faced.
Yes,
god.
He's the two-faced, looked in both directions.
It was the
directions.
End of the former year.
Was there a front door and a back door? Did that symbolize something?
No.
Anything like that?
No.
Kept
only,
out the
only
draft.
One set of doors.
Okay. And it was a ritual to close the doors, but it...
At a certain time.
At a certain time, I see.
That was looked forward to.
Like something like the end of the tax season or something like that in ancient Rome?
Good guess.
Okay.
Floods.
Is this a logical answer?
Yes.
Okay.
It marked the end of something and the beginning of something else.
One door closes, another one opens.
That Rome was constantly going back and forth.
The end of one emperor's life and the end of one emperor's reign and the beginning of the next. No.
More general than that.
More general. Not like the end of fall and the beginning of, or the end of winter and the beginning of spring.
No.
No, we give up.
War and peace.
Okay.
Open during war, closed peace.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, Nick and Hillary in San Francisco.
Hello.
We had answers. Rabbit was the common thing.
Right.
Iron Lady. Words. Adjectives.
Yes.
Best?
No.
Worst?
No.
Improved?
No.
Beautiful?
No.
Terrible?
No.
No, that terrible is...
these tend to be shorter words than terrible,
okay.
For instance.
Question?
Yes.
The only president of the United States who, after being president, went on to serve as Chief Justice of the United States, who was that?
Taft.
William Howard Taft,
William
yes.
Howard Taft.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did he get a ding?
Yes, you got a ding. There you go. I'll give you two. Thanks a lot. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, am I the one that's on?
You are the one on right now.
Oh, okay. This is Phyllis in Berkeley. Just a silly thing that came into my mind. Question.
Yes.
Number one, what are plimsolls? And secondly, what is the plimsoll line?
Plimsoll. What is that word?
I heard that term.
P-L-I-M-S-O-L-L. What are plimsolls and what is the plimsoll line? Or it's sometimes called the plimsoll mark also.
I hear that in conjunction with plimsoll. England.
I think they're both Brit words. But I'd never thought of the two of them together until it just suddenly came in my mind while I was listening to you guys.
Plimsoll. I can recall some character named Mr. or Mrs. Plimsoll. What is it?
They seem completely unrelated. I can't see how the word got assigned to the two terms.
Plimsoll line. Plimsoll. Plimsoll. No, we don't know.
Okay, well, plimsolls are, that's the ordinary English word for sneakers.
Oh.
Or sort of tennis shoe-like things.
Okay.
And the plimsoll line is a line on the side of a merchant vessel that indicates how much weight of can be put into it. It can't be loaded so that the plimsoll line is below water.
Is that the it used to be, in I don't know if it still is anymore, but it was painted red below on the hull of a ship below a certain level.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Debbie knew that one.
Very good. Debbie knew. There's your bell, Debbie. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Linda in Oakland again. I have another guest for the adjective.
Yes.
Cute?
Cute? No.
Oh, poop. And about the highest earnings people, would Steve Jobs be anyone?
Oh, Steve Jobs, Jerry?
No.
That's a good guess, though. I like that.
Okay. Well, have a good night.
All right. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hey, this is Vincent and Pedro in Frisco.
Hi.
And I just called a moment ago about the Daria thing, but I got another. I think an answer to the question about the gays. What would you say about the couples, Pedro, about us couples?
So Jerry wants to know the
population
gayest state in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's correct. He's still,
yes.
We're still looking for that.
He says Washington D.C.
Well, Washington D.C. is
the city.
That's the city
and the state.
Looking for the state.
What did you say? Was it D.C.? Come on.
What?
Hurry, quick! They're going to cut me off. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, and all right, we better clean up here. What do we got? Okay, Jerry.
The gayest state is Hawaii.
Hawaii, all right. Well,
5%. The national average is 3.5.
Oh.
The top earning dead celebrities in 2013, Dr. Seuss, Betty Page, Einstein, John Lennon, Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Taylor, and somebody got Charles
Betty
Schultz.
Betty Page, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the interesting one.
I know, that's in Elvis and Jackson.
Oh, yeah,
that's all.
Was that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Princess Kanta Kuzen, or however you say her name, was also Julia Dent Grant, Kanta Kuzen Speransky, Ulysses S. Grant's granddaughter. The person who said, my father thought of Russia as a land, et cetera, was David Hockney, which person mentioned him when she called in, and I thought she would know that, but she didn't.
Oh, all right. In 1568, the Catholic Church condemned the entire population of what country to death for heresy? That's the Netherlands or Holland, because they tended to be Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Okay, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the 10 most commonly used adjectives in English? Good, new, first, last, long, great, little, own, other, old.
My students would add boring.
Okay. If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoy the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. Thank you very much, Pauline.
Thank you very much.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and special thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and the phones and everything else wonderful about our show. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Please listen for us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Bye-bye.